Tom Hansen is running for Utah House District 67, which includes much of Roosevelt and Duchesne County, as well as Price, Huntington, Castledale, and East Carbon. Tom Hansen is running against incumbent House Representative Christine Watson. Tom Hansen has been a teacher for the past 29 years and currently teaches at Emory High School. Tom Hansen has served as board president of Emory Telecom. He served as Emory County Republican chair, and he loves sports, where he works as a collegiate umpire. He and his wife, Dina, have three sons and have been married happily married for 33 years. Tom Hansen was a convention-only candidate and recently won the Utah GOP convention and has earned his place on the June 25th ballot as the Republican nominee for Utah's House District 67. Tom Hansen, welcome to the Uinta Basin.
Thank you.
Now, you've lived most of your life in the Castle Country area, more specifically Cleveland and Elmo, if you're familiar with Emory County, right?
Yeah, they're the huge cities of about 500 and 300 people. So,
we have small communities in Duchesne County that are well. What assurances do we have, Tom Hansen, that the citizens of Duchesne County will be equally represented by you at the House of Representatives?
Well, honestly, it should be a little more than equally, because the majority of the population of our district actually is in Duchesne County. So as I talked to the delegates, I received 88% of the delegate vote. And the reason I did is because I went to each one of their individual homes. So we have people like Brad Wardle out of Fruitland.
I know Brad very well.
Do
I
you?
Brad.
Yeah, Brad's a great guy. So has his own greenhouse. Uh-huh. Great guy.
Avid listener of KVEL.
He has
KVEL on in his chicken coop.
So yes, he does. He does ham radio also. So yeah. So he's a great guy. Anyways, we were talking about how property values have been an issue. So that's one of the things that we were talking about, is that right now, centrally assessed properties on the state level are causing those values are going down. So every time they cap a well, it's going to lower your centrally assessed values. And as they do that, what happens is who has to pick that up?
Burden falls upon the county.
It does. And so, the county residents. So right. Those property taxes go up. And especially in his case, he has different properties that have been subdivided. And he wishes he could put them back together as just one farm, because that's what he uses it as. And that's a detriment and a policy that we have on the state level that we need to change so that we can have those lowered.
So what's the answer for centrally assessed taxes? What can you do as a representative
to
maybe make sure that this is more equity there?
Yeah, so what we need to do is make sure that businesses that are centrally assessed, which aren't very many, by the way. This is going to be ones
Explain,
that
Explain, first of all, what centrally assessed
Yeah, I was
going
to say, are. this is not every business. So this is typically anything that's going to transport and produce their goods in a central location and then extend it throughout
power
the
line,
state. So
pipelines.
All of the, yes, you're talking power plants, you're talking pipelines, you're talking railroads. Mm-hmm. All of those are centrally assessed properties. So as you use those properties, they can depreciate in two ways. They can either count their depreciation, or they can say, well, here's what we're producing, and they can look at it in that side of the accounting. Well, they always take, of course, the best one for them. What that leaves, though, is counties, especially rural counties, having to foot that bill. And yet it doesn't affect the Wasatch Front counties near as much, because they don't use those natural resources. They're not extracting those in their area. And therefore, they don't lose anything when centrally assessed values are depreciated out, when the Biden administration says, well, sorry, you're going to close your power plant in 2032. Of course, they depreciate that out. Then all of a sudden they backtrack and say, okay, now it's 2042. Well, do we get that money back that they depreciated out? Absolutely not. The tax base is gone. So that's where we're at, and we need to change that on the state level so that businesses are paying their fair share. So we want to make sure that happens so that our local property owners aren't holding the bag there.
While we're talking about taxes, could you explain severance tax and the citizens of Duchesne County receiving their fair share of severance tax on minerals extracted from Duchesne County?
Right. So there's a severance tax, which is what is taken when you are extracting oil specifically. So severance tax is on oil specifically. And as you extract that, you're supposed to be, the taxes that are paid as they extract that are supposed to be paid to the state level, federal level, some of it, and then back to the state level, and then back to the county. Mm-hmm. Well, the state is taking, to me, more than their fair share, and they're claiming, well, we have to upkeep the roads and everything, and that's why we take quite a bit of it. And so very little of that severance tax actually gets back to Duchesne County. And as your representative, I've even talked with Senator Winterton, and both of us are in agreement to try and study this issue and make sure that we can get the money back to the counties, more of a percentage of that money back to the counties, because it affects our communities.
Well, one argument that I would come up with as a citizen is that the oil and gas industry impacts county roads more than it does state roads.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying, is if we don't get enough of it back, then the county roads are not going to be able to be kept up. So not just the county roads, but you also have water, you have all kinds of other services that the county and the cities and municipalities are going to be providing, even just, you know, police force and other things. All that is being provided, and yet they're not getting the severance tax back to be used on those
local
issues.
What percentage would you estimate that we're getting?
I don't know exactly, but roughly. I've heard it's around 15-20%.
Okay, so that's not enough.
No.
That doesn't provide us impact mitigation at all.
In fact, most people don't even know about severance taxes because it's not talked about because it's such a little amount on the county level. So
well, we hear a lot
about.
We
need to make it bigger.
Mineral lease monies. And
yes.
Is Duchesne County getting its fair share of mineral lease monies from the CIB?
Well, the same principle applies here. It shouldn't be just from the CIB, but it should also be in payments in lieu of taxes and PILT money mm-hmm. that comes down also. Those things, again, it's like a terrible funnel where everything is taken out of the top and the cream is being kept right there in the funnel while, you know, you get a little drip down at the bottom. And we need to stop that. We need to make sure that you're getting the cream. And so we need to make sure that our state is taking less and that they're making sure the feds are giving back as much as we can get back from them. We need to put pressure on our federal officials too, to make sure that gets back to the state, and then the state officials to make sure it gets back to the county. As a Republican, I believe in local control. And the only way to do that is to make sure that we get it back to the source where it first originates.
Getting back to my original question, is this going to be a hot topic for you to make sure that we return more money to Duchesne County residents for infrastructure and that type of thing?
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying, is I've talked to people. Their biggest concern, like I said, when I was talking about Brad, his biggest concern is we've got these property values that seem to keep going up, 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 and yet it's the same property. Mm-hmm. And so why are we paying taxes on that? Well, it's because we've lost out on some of these other taxes. Well, not just centrally assessed, but we're talking centrally assessed. We're talking the severance taxes not being returned. All that funnels into that budget. And we're not able to do that on the local level. We need to make sure that we are alleviating our tax burden, especially on property taxes in Duchesne County. And I will fight for that as I am in the legislature.
You mentioned the railroad earlier about centrally assessed taxes. That would have been nice to have the railroad here.
Yep.
What are your thoughts about the railroad?
Well, I honestly think that it will be a good thing if we can get it here and paid for. The problem is how much does it cost? There's always a cost-benefit analysis mm-hmm. in everything. With the current environmentalist suing we already did the impact studies and each county that the railroad was going to go through. It was ready to go. But then the environmentalist said, no, no, no. And the judge agreed with them and said, no matter where that oil goes, you've got to do an environmental impact study all the way to Texas.
Now I might say that there were three liberal judges from the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in District of Columbia.
Yeah.
The most liberal
yes.
part of the judicial system.
Exactly.
And they ruled right down on every issue that was brought up in that lawsuit. They ruled in favor of the plaintiff.
Yep.
And
so the environmentalists have won, and now the litigation is going to cost so much.
They're regulating through litigation.
Exactly, because people give up. We had a nuclear plant that was going to go in Green River. Environmentalists sued on that and said, well, sorry, you need more water than you're saying you need and all this other stuff. And so they took Blue Castle as who was going to do it, which is a private company, and which I believe in. I believe in a capitalist system. And yet, because the environmentalists had so much money to litigate it through, Blue Castle eventually just said it's not worth it.
So
and I'm afraid
us.
That might happen with the railroad.
So they're killing,
I hope it doesn't.
They're killing us on coal and natural gas and oil And now nuclear?
Yep. They're stopping us on every level.
What are we going to do? Build campfires? Go back to kerosene lanterns? Well, they're probably trying out to do that because that's a fossil fuel, right?
So speaking of the delegates, Dusty Monks is an energy guy who's out in Mighton. And Dusty talked to me about, you know what? We need to make sure that anything we do in the state of Utah is reliable and dispatchable and affordable. And if we can make sure it's those things, then we can't replace it with just something that is not going to be dispatchable. And that's where we're at here in our state. We need to make sure that we have dispatchable energy. That means that it has to be able to carry a base load. So right now, that's only coal, natural gas, and nuclear if we had the resources for nuclear. But again, they're stopping us from creating those resources.
So you win a railway. We need a state attorney general that's going to get behind and fight. I mean, we're $33 million into this project right now.
Yep.
We can't abandon it.
Exactly. And they're going to cost you another $100 million in litigation. And that's going to be the issue. The state of Utah is going to have to step up and help push that litigation along.
You think
along.
It'll be $100 million in litigation?
I really do. I think that's exactly what Blue Castle was looking at. I think the environmentalists won't stop until they just sue you to death. And that's the problem, is that they're just going to keep bringing up new issues, new things. If this one fails, if the Supreme Court overturns it, they'll bring up something else. They'll get some liberal judge to push it. That's the way they operate. That's how they do it, through litigation. They regulate through litigation. And that's what I'm afraid might happen with the railroad.
As our representative, will you continue to push to get this built?
Well, like I said, I'll continue to push to fight to get it built. The problem isn't getting it built. The problem is can we get through the litigation to get it built?
Okay. Public land access. The BLM is currently rewriting, as you know, the travel management plans with the federal directive to put more restrictions on access to our public land for mineral development, grazing, recreation, and even road access. They'd like to turn it all into wilderness study areas. In 2025, coming up this next year, the BLM will be updating their Dinosaur North plan in Uinta County, which would close 208 miles of OHV trails. We need those OHV trails open because it helps diversify our economic base.
Absolutely.
And so you would think they would be for that, but no, they don't care about us out here. Pushed by environmental groups like the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, the federal bureaucrats in the Biden administration are seeking to close, and this was from a conversation that we had yesterday, 900 miles in the San Rafael Swell in your home.
Yeah, after we talked, I looked it up. It's 967 miles.
Yeah, pretty close guess at 900.
But pretty good guess. So
they're also seeking to restrict access to the Book Cliffs in Southern Uinta County. And in your district, Nine Mile Canyon in Duchesne County.
Yes, exactly. Well, in Carbon County.
Oh, in Carbon County.
Yeah, and it goes into Duchesne County. You're right. It goes over the top, okay. But a lot of that area also.
What is your position on public land access in Utah and other Western states? And what would you do as Duchesne County representative to work against the aggressive assault on our access, ability to access our public lands?
Well, again, we have some really great people who were delegates. Clay Crozier is out in Duchesne, and I don't know if you know Clay, but he's our land guy, and he really knows his stuff. So anytime that these come open, Clay is at the forefront of making sure that we know how to submit our opposition, how to submit that properly, how to pick the correct plan, because they come out with three or four plans that you're supposed to select. And so Clay is at the forefront of that. But also Bruce Thomas, who lives in Duchesne, also brought that up. He says, you know, I remember when I was a boy, I used to be able to just go hunt and fish, and there were so many open places. And even with the tribe, we were able to go in and be friendly and be able to do all this. And now it seems like we've got so many barriers in place to be able to hunt and fish and do the things that I grew up loving. And this is why we live in rural Utah. It's because we love to recreate in those things. And to take that away from us, it's a family opportunity. It is creating a barrier to the very essence of who we are. The smallest unit of government is the family. And yet our government is preventing us from having quality family time in the outdoors, which we all enjoy. So I think that's one of the key things that you have to fight. And I think we do it the same way we do energy. We put state policy in place that says you should not do this on the federal level. You have to have dispatchable energy. Okay, well, what do we have to have for roads? We have to have access to our public places and lands. The weird part is that they'll chop off, if you've looked at the maps, they'll chop off a little piece of the trail, and then they'll say, oh, wait, this other part is open still. Well, you can't get to it.
Right.
You've chopped off the access to get to the rest of that. Right. And then you're saying that the whole trail is open? No, it's not open. So even when they say it's 967 miles, you could almost double that because you can't get to the trails that they say are still open. That's really concerning. Calf Canyon down where I live, some other canyons, it's just unbelievable how many of these are going to be shut off from our access. And we have to fight that. And I will work with people like Clay, people like Bruce Thomas from here in the basin that know this area and are going to be able to tell us how we can keep those things open. And I'm going to make sure that that's published, that that's broadcast, that that is one of the key things that we as citizens can do to stand up, because citizens have more power than they think. They just don't know how to act. And so I think keeping them informed of that and then standing up for them in the legislature to make legislation that makes sure that that is what the state of Utah will be standing for will put pressure on the federal government to keep those areas open.
So as our representative, we can count on you to fight for access to public lands. What specifically could you do besides what you've mentioned here?
Well, like I said, the key is making sure that you have legislation that says this is where the state stands, so that the federal government, when they try to make these plans, says, well, the state has already said this is where we're at. Each county needs to make the same thing. That's why we have, and like I said, I believe in local control. So we each have a land council in each county that makes decisions. And as those land councils come together and say, look, we want this plan. And like I said, people like Clay help those land councils to say, here's the best plan out of our options. Sometimes none of them are good, but the best one we can hope for is this one. It's Plan D for the San Rafael Swell area where I live. Each plan, the basin travel management plan, will have a specific plan that you should be writing in support of so that you can actually keep it the way it is without having more federal overreach.
I'd like to mention, we've been talking about the BLM. The local people here at our local
they're not for this.
In Emery County, they're supportive of us. As a matter of fact, I understand they just sent the draft of the travel management plan to the federal government, to the Biden administration. They sent it back and said it's not restrictive enough. You need to go back and make it more restrictive.
Yeah, that's what SUA did. They asked for that. Our actual local BLMs are actually on our side, is the weird part. They don't want things closed. The local BLM management isn't the problem. The problem is that we have federal overreach from Washington, D.C. telling us what to do with our lands in our areas. And that's immoral in reality.
As the Wasatch Front continues to grow, rural legislative representation is shrinking. Can you work in synergy with other rural legislatures to ensure interests in rural Utah communities are met? For example, is there a disparity between urban and rural funding?
Well, absolutely. And you're going to have that because you have the majority of legislators being that. If you look at the Inland Port. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you look at the Inland Port funding, almost all of it went to Salt Lake County. Do they need the money for the Inland Port?
No, and they don't. And they don't need the population.
Not only that, do you need federal or do you need state government interference into a plan that is going to put money into Salt Lake? You had the same thing with the sports complexes and all that. You have them putting pressure on rural legislators to say, oh, wait, we need money from all throughout the state so we can have a baseball team or a hockey team or whatever. That's going to benefit Salt Lake County. Salt Lake County can do those things. I'm all for it. Salt Lake County can do what they want. But it shouldn't be state funded, and we shouldn't be spending state dollars that are crony capitalism in urban areas when rural Utah, if they really want to fix their problems of traffic, of the price of homes, of not having enough housing, of transportation, of pollution. They want to fix those things? Well, then they better fix rural Utah and make it more easy for our own people to come back and live here. Two of my three sons live in Salt Lake. They don't want to, but they do. And I'm sure each of us in our areas would like our family members to be able to come back home. How do we do that? Well, we tell them, hey, you want to fix your problems? Let's try and create jobs. Let's try and create the infrastructure necessary so that people can live in rural Utah with their families.
Is our infrastructure, I'm not talking about telecom infrastructure, but I'm talking about roads and access. the only transportation that we have in and out of here is Highway 40 and Highway 191. And Highway 191 is overused and underdeveloped, right?
Absolutely. In fact, it's more overused now because of the railroad decision, by the way. Right. So it's weird because the oil is still going on the railroad. It's just being pushed over Highway 191 through Indian Canyon and down into Price, and then it's loaded onto the trains there. So we haven't fixed a problem. In fact, we've created a safety issue, and that's what needs to be said. And so if we can't get the railroad here, well, then you've really got to do a lot of work on Highway 191, and it's not easy and it's not cheap work.
That's what's frustrating is we're talking about roads like Highway 191 over Indian Canyon that need some serious money put into it for public safety.
Absolutely.
And for the economy here in northeastern Utah. But yet we're worried about a Major League Baseball stadium and using state funds to do that. We're also worried about the Olympics coming back to grow the economy on the Wasatch Front and create more of a housing problem. Mm-hmm. We don't have the room for this kind of thing.
Well, and you have smart cities that they're pushing on the Wasatch Front also.
They're wanting to grow up and
yes.
But and rural
which
Utah.
Which is fine with me if that's done on a county level. The problem is we have usurped power on the state level. We have expanded government on the state level. Our government budget has went from $15 billion on the state level 10 years ago to $30 billion today. What are we spending that money on? We're spending it on these special interest groups on the Wasatch Front that are crony capitalist groups trying to make sure that they get funding for their special projects. And then those same people are giving money to even rural legislators. If you look on disclosures.utah.gov, look at people, look at where they're getting their money from. And you'll see how come they vote not necessarily in their constituents' favor, but in the favor of big interest.
Water. Let's talk about water for just a minute in the closing minutes that we have here. Water's been a huge topic in the past, in the last two legislative sessions. Expansion of water resources on the Great Salt Lake threatens to move water from Duchesne County to the Wasatch Front. As Duchesne County representative, what would you do to better protect the water resources to keep them in Duchesne County?
The weird part is when they built the dams and the tunnels and everything, they said, oh yeah, we're going to build you guys some reservoirs also on Rock Creek and some other places. And those never came to fruition.
Is that in writing that they told us? That's what they told us.
So well, then I've talked to different delegates in that. Every one of them has told me that. Now they said there were problems sometimes with where they wanted to put the reservoir was on federal land or on tribal land that they couldn't access. So it's not just the state's fault, but it is a combination of federal and state issues. So we need to push hard to try and get those. If you really realize how much we use under the Colorado River Compact. Now, by the way, if you keep sending money into the Great Salt Lake and taking it from the basin, which actually would flow naturally down the Colorado River, then you're actually taking away from that Colorado impact. So we could be held liable for that if we don't have enough water. Now, the weird part is that we don't even use the amount that we're guaranteed and allocated through the Colorado River Compact. We don't use it. We only use 50% of our allocation as the state of Utah. So we're letting it go down the river. Now, guess how much California uses? They use 100% of their allocation every single year, no matter what. And they're relying on us not using our amount. So, and why don't we use it? We don't have the watersheds. We don't have the reservoirs. We need reservoirs in Duchesne County, Carbon County, and Emory County, all three of the counties I'd be representing, and that should be one of our highest priorities. And then once we get those watersheds, where should the decisions on that water be made?
Local.
Water rights should be locally held and operated. In fact, it says in our state constitution that water rights for useful purposes are to be held by the individuals in our state. So that's where we should be making those decisions. Our canal companies, our municipalities, our counties are where those decisions should be made, not at the state level. And I want to push that power back while at the same time creating the watersheds we need to take advantage of our water.
Tom Hansen, if you're just joining us, is running for Utah House District 67, which includes much of Roosevelt and Duchesne County, actually the majority of the area there, right?
So it includes anything south of the golf course in Roosevelt, and then Mighton, Bridgeland, Duchesne, and Fruitland.
That's a lot of territory.
So that's a lot, just right along Highway 40 and anything southish of Highway 40.
Tom Hansen, is there anything that, final message to the citizens of Duchesne County that you'd like to share?
Know that I want to be a part of your community. I believe in community. I've lived in a small community my whole life, and I believe that community is where problems are going to be taken care of. When there's a tragedy, who do you turn to? You don't turn to the state government. You turn to your local people. And I think if we can get more power back to the individuals and back to our local counties and cities, we're going to have much better governance than if we have the power centralized at our state level.
Tom Hansen, Republican nominee for the Utah House District 67. There will be an election on June 25th. And
ballots actually go out on the 4th, 5th, somewhere around
really,
there.
Really, really, really.
June 4th or 5th is when you'll get a ballot.
A lot of people are going to be be casting their ballots early as soon as they get them. So we appreciate you taking time to come into the KVEL studios and visit one-on-one about issues pertaining to Duchesne County and the citizens there. We appreciate your effort to be here.
Thank you.
All right, Tom Hansen, running for GOP candidate for Utah House District 67. This is News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. I'm Steve Evans. Thank you for joining us.